The season of Lent is a time to meditate on the cross, on Jesus' sacrifice, on the cross and its impact in our lives. We need to be reminded of that every year, just like we need to be reminded every year of the meaning of Christmas and the birth of Jesus. What happened at Calvary almost 2,000 years changed everything. When Jesus died on that cross, a new era began. Salvation is now available to those who could never earn it. Peter 2:24 reads, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness." This is a really, really important thing that we need to really get deep in our knower. He bore your sin, your ugly sin, my ugly sin, on his body. That's why he was punished. That's why he was hit. That's why he bled. Because your sins and my sins were put on him, on his body. Don't we owe him so much? He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. Why did he do that? So that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. That would have been impossible to do before, because the punishment had to be paid. We couldn't just say, well, now I want to be holy. Now I want to live well. Now I want to have a second chance. We can do that now because somebody already paid for what we owed. And that's what verse 11 from the passage that we read this morning says. In him you were also circumcised. In him, everything is in him. With a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off. What is circumcision? You cut a piece of the flesh and you throw it away. Well, this is not just a piece of ourselves. Verse 11 says, your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. So, this is a mystery, people. Something happened that he was able to absorb the sin of humanity. Your sin, my sin, and everybody else's sin. Something happened that through that act, when he was being hit and nailed, punished, and tortured, our sins were being paid for by that act. Something happened so that now, because of that, we do have a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance to say, forgive me, God. I want to live a new life. I messed up. Now we can do that. Before, we couldn't do that. Not really. We kept sacrificing animals, and all these poor animals were dying, and that was temporary. Not anymore. We have a one-time death that resolved that problem of sin. And that's what verse 11 says. In him you were also circumcised. With a circumcision not performed by human hands, your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. It was on that cross that Jesus broke the power of the devil over us. It was there that he established his victory over the devil and every demon, over all evil, over all wrong, over all sickness, and all sin. Hallelujah. That's where the victory was won. How different. Think about it. How different of what the world sees a victory looking like. He humbled himself even unto death. And that's how he defeated the devil, by dying a very humble and painful death. So all this means that forgiveness is available to us. Did you hear that? Forgiveness is available to you. Forgiveness is available. Forgive yourself, because Christ has forgiven you. Forgiveness is a gift. Receive it. So how is this all this seen in our lives? You know that I'm going to always try to connect the meaning of the passage with, what does that mean for me today? What does that mean for you today? How is this seen in our lives today? How does the cross impact us? Well, we got to bring a little help from other passages to really understand all this. Because this passage tells us that when we were dead in our sins, in the uncircumcision of our flesh, God made us alive, verse 13, with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. But what is, it still seems hard to understand. And don't ever just stop and say, well, I don't really understand it, but I'll take it by faith. No, other things are to be taken by faith. God calls you to understand as much as it is possible. There are some mysteries in the Bible that we cannot understand, like the Trinity. But as much as possible, by connecting other scriptures, you will be able to have a deeper meaning, and that's the job of a pastor, but that's also your job if you want to continue to really grow in your faith, to connect things, to ask questions. There's a lady in Holland that was like a second mother to my daughter who lives in Spain. Her and her husband just loved on her when she was going to high school. She was, her daughter was my daughter's best friend. And they went to Riviera Maya one spring break together, and I let her go because I knew them. And when she had a loss in her family, she called me and asked me, I want to understand death. So I thought, well, let's have coffee. Beautiful opportunity. And I explained the entire gospel to her. And I explained to her that now she needed to grow in her faith. And I explained to her that she needed to be reading the word and trying to find out what the word of God told her about her life, her loved ones, and her everyday life. And I told her that it was important that she connected scriptures. And when she didn't understand, just text me or we'll have coffee again when I go that way. She's been doing that for a year. And I meet with her from time to time. She asks me questions, and I think, hallelujah. She wants to grow. She wants to know all the time, what about this? I don't understand this. And so I give her other scriptures so that she can connect them. Are you doing that? Are you trying to grow in the knowledge of God? Are you trying to grow in the knowledge of scriptures? Are you trying to understand more and more about God? Or are you content the way you are? That's the million-dollar question. So let me continue to unpack this. How then does the cross impact us? Romans 6, 4, and 5 says, we were buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live, here's the key word, a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like this. Resurrection is about new life, right? So when we are united with Christ, the debt is paid because he paid it for anyone who will receive him as Savior. But the new life is also imparted. Two things happen. So the new life is a life that is new. That's why it's called resurrection, new life. So we're called to live differently than when we did before. If we were stuck in unforgiveness before, in gossip and God knows what, we can't live like that anymore. We have a new life. If we were stuck in hatred and poor me, you know, the victim's mentality, all this has happened to me. You've had a good life. Must be nice to have a husband like yours. Must be nice to have a checking account like yours. If we used to do that, we don't have to do that anymore. We can live a new life full of what? Gratitude for what we have. Thankful for what we have. Filled with thankfulness. So, if we have been united with him, Romans says, in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. In other words, leave that old life that was thrown out. Embrace the life of Christ, the life full of joy, gratitude, love, peace, kindness. And then Romans 6:7 adds this. Our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. See? Turn your back to that old life. No more. Might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Listen up. You're either going to be a slave to Christ or a slave to sin. That's it. You can be a slave. If you're a slave to Christ, you will have peace. You will struggle because the flesh doesn't like it. But if you continually seek God and nurture yourself, you will grow in your faith and it will be easier. You can be a slave to sin, which is the same as slave to money, slave to, you know, drugs, slave to whatever. It's the same spirit, whatever it may be. You're either going to be a slave to Christ or a slave to sin. That's it. There's no in between. Trust me. I want to be a slave to Christ. And that's what the passage is saying. We should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. In other words, don't believe the lie that, oh, this is just the way my mama was, so that's the way I am, or this is just the way I am. No, you are like Christ. That's the meaning of the cross. He earned a new life for you. But this message wouldn't be complete if we don't reflect on our response to such an indescribable gift. Romans 6, 11 and 13 helps us to do that, to know how to respond. What is our response to be? Romans 6, 11 through 13 reads, in the same way, listen to this little word, count. Count yourselves dead to sin. In other words, you can say, it's like an action that God wants you to take. This is the way my mama was, or this is the way I used to be, or this is the way my dad was. But I consider that dead. I count myself dead to that, no longer alive to that. I'm alive to Christ. Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ, the verse says. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness. Don't do it. But rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. What parts are those? Every part. Your ears, what you hear. Your lips, what you speak about yourself or others, or even God. Your hands, what you do. Your feet, where you go, your mind, what you think about, all, every part. So rather, offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as instrument of righteousness. Wouldn't it be amazing? Just think about it. It is not utopic. What if we would all do that? What if the only thing we would do is, nope, these ears, these hands, this mouth, and these eyes are only for the service of God? What if we would live like that? What if? And that's what I want you to think about. This is now possible because, as the rest of the passage states in verse 14, sin shall no longer be your master. Sin may be able to tell you, no, that's the way you are. You're not going to change. That's a lie. That is a lie. Sin shall no longer be your master, because we are not, the verse says, under law, but under what? Grace. We're under grace. Let me say it again. We're under grace. Then it goes on to say, oh, we're under grace. So listen to verses 15 through 18. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Question mark. And then the verse answers. The next verse answers. By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. And then it says, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. My friends, the cross brought the possibility for us to live differently, to live righteously, to not sin, to live holy lives, to not be attached to money or greed or anger or resentment or unforgiveness or vengeance or any earthly yucky thing. Now we have a choice. Before we didn't. Sin was our master. Now we have a choice. Don't you see it? Don't you know it says when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. And then he ends with this, verses 17 and 18. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free, from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. My friends, the cross brought us the possibility to live righteously, to not sin, to live holy lives for the glory of God the Father. That's the good news I have for you today. Let us pray. Father, 1 Corinthians 1:18, in it you tell us that all this information, these facts, the victory of the cross is foolishness talk to those who do not know you. But to us, it is the very power of God. And so we thank you, Father, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the very power of God in action on our behalf that we may live differently. Father, we pray for your blessing. May this season of Easter that is already in full course be a time when we meditate on what you've done for us and how we respond to you, to such an amazing show of love for us. Father, for your glory and honor, we want to live lives that show the power of the resurrection, the power of a new life, that others may be curious, like I was curious when I saw Argentina live a life that was so differently than my family's life, the life they were living. And Lord, because she was living that new life in you, I am now here preaching the gospel for the honor and glory of your name. Father, may we be examples, as imperfect as we are, of what that new life looks like to others. All this we pray in the powerful and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.